no water. Load my tank, don't drink no water. Now it done got late in the evening. Baby, babe, I wanna see my long hair gone. Man, I'm gonna tell her about my trouble. Babe, I'm gonna tell her about my money loser. Man, I'm scared to go home to my baby. Now I'm scared to go home to my baby.
Programming is supported by MnDOT. Out and about? MnDOT reminds you to be alert and look both ways for vehicles when crossing the road. Don't assume drivers will see you day or night. When crossing, please be attentive and careful. Let's move safely together.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and on the web at kfai.org. For the next 60 minutes, you'll be hearing The Wave Project, KFAI's weekly community access hour. If you'd like to produce your own one-hour radio program, information on applying can be found at kfai.org/Wave Project. The views expressed on this program are those of the persons expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Fresh Air's Incorporated Board of Directors, volunteers, or staff.
Hello and welcome to The Wave Project. My name is TJ Larson. I am the engineer and I'm helping out our hosts today to talk about some very interesting and important topics revolving the current war that's happening in Ukraine. And we want to talk to you about that today. So joining me, we have Elena. Elena, can you say hello?
Hi.
I'm going to go ahead and move that close to you so you're comfortable. And Elena, would you introduce who you are and what your organization is?
Sure. My name is Elena Mityushin. I'm the founder of Russians Against War Minnesota Group. And we're supporting all the recent political asylum seekers that are coming to Minnesota that are protesting Putin's regime and fleeing the country, being forced out of the country because they support free speech and are against the war. We're supporting them and building the community here, and we're also bringing together Russian Americans who have lived here for years and want to express their anti-war stance publicly and build community with the new refugees. We're also looking for allies in the community from different nationalities to build this movement with us. Another cause for us to exist is we are aiming to support political prisoners in Russia who are against the war in Ukraine and have been imprisoned.
So that's a lot. You do a lot of stuff. Can you tell us how long you've been working with this effort?
I've started the movement 6 months ago and built it from ground up. Right now we have about 300 people in the group, and this summer I've actually applied for a nonprofit license. I've been registered in Minnesota as an official organization, and this week I'm applying for my 501(c) status to hopefully get a tax-deductible status in the future so I can create more projects and larger projects and collect more funding.
Excellent. And so for right now, people want to find out more about the organization. You have a Facebook page.
Yep, we have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, and we're working on our website. For now, you can go to Russians Against War Minnesota Facebook group and Raw Minnesota Instagram page. In a few months, we hope to have an actual website built.
Okay. Now, you've talked about how long you've been involved. Is there anything you can speak to? I don't want to put you on the spot, but What is your personal connection, and, you know, what is driving you? Because this is a lot to do, all the organization, all of the forms you kind of fill out to become a nonprofit. Something's driving you to do this. Would you care to describe, you know, why that is?
Sure. Well, when the war started, I spent the first 3 months crying in bed, eating tuna out of a can because I couldn't cook for myself, and felt very helpless and depressed about the situation. Being from Russia, I felt a lot of shame and guilt and mixed feelings about my identity. And then I realized that in order to keep going in this life and in order to feel some sort of control and ways I can help, I actually need to start doing some projects and helping people. So I got out of bed and started helping my Ukrainian part of the family. I have family in Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia. So I really understand a complex perspective on this war. I started helping my Ukrainian family, help them immigrate from Ukraine to Canada. And then I started helping refugees here from Ukraine for several months. I've actually won an award for that from Maple Grove Rotary Club for my help to some Ukrainian families. And then this year, in the beginning of this year, I realized that we actually have a lot of families from Russia that are coming here who are fleeing Putin's regime, and they're coming from through Mexico because there's no official way to come right now through the flight. Because of sanctions, a lot of countries are blocking Russians, and people have to come through many different countries to seek asylum, and then they come through Mexico, and then really nobody knows about them here. They don't have a support. We don't have a Russian cultural center in the city.
Right.
And so they're coming here, and nobody's aware that they're here. They don't have the support. And so I decided that we really need to come together. The first protest was on January 23 at the Capitol. And we had 35 people come, and that protest was aligned with 2 years of Navalny being in prison. Navalny is one of the biggest opposition leaders in Russia that was poisoned 3 years ago. Actually, today's the anniversary of his poisoning. And in January was 2 years that he's been imprisoned by Putin because for his stance that Russia should be a different country. And so I gathered the protest at the Capitol to support that cause, to voice that, you know, we shouldn't have political prisoners, to support that we should be standing against that. And about 35 people came. It was very cold outside.
Yeah,
and I was very surprised that out of the 35 people, we had 12 people that recently crossed the border from Mexico. And so that was just expressed the dire need for the group and the community to be created. And what's driving me for all the 6 months is that I don't see many people helping Russian political asylum seekers. I see a lot of people helping Ukrainians, which I understand why, because I also have family in Ukraine. I understand the situation. It brings me a lot of pain. But I do think that the Russians who are fleeing Putin's regime are also victims of this war. And they're losing everything. They're losing their family members. They're losing all the life they've built there. And I do think that they're heroes because they're taking a stance against the war and coming here because they're being kicked out. So my heart is in it, and that's what's driving it, really. My heart's love for these people and for my country. I love my country that I grew up in. I love the people. I love the culture. I don't think the country equals government. I don't think that people are to blame for Putin's criminal actions. And I'm working really hard to break down those stereotypes because I do feel sometimes like it's swimming against the stream. But I think it's the cause worth fighting for.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why you're here, right? And we appreciate you being here and kind of going with the flow when we don't have what we expected for hosts on this show. So you're doing
sure.
Yeah. It's remarkable to hear your story, and I really appreciate that. I think one of the things that you mentioned that I think is especially informative is just the plight that Russians that are living in Russia that are seeking asylum, you know, must be facing when you think about, you know, how public opinion is, you know, swayed against Russia in this war, right? And then you're trying to seek asylum to get out of it. You're just caught in, like, literally people caught in the middle,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, we are in many ways we're being held responsible for Putin's
right.
criminal actions, right. And I mean that's not fair, but that's something we've been facing.
Sure.
And there is a lot of misunderstandings about how many people in Russia actually support the war, and a lot of people say, well, because you don't see millions of people protesting in Russia, therefore people support the war, and that's just wrong. Because first of all, in a totalitarian regime, which is Russia is becoming. Right now, you cannot have sociology or really surveys because people are scared to answer questions. And
right,
when you
right.
survey people, do you support war, do you support Putin? They know that it's really a question of do you support Putin or do you want to lose your job? Do you support Putin or do you not want to live here anymore? So
right.
it's you cannot have sociology in a dictatorship. And so most people, I believe, are just scared. And we do have protesters we have 600 political prisoners
mm-hmm.
who did protest, and their families are now left alone, right, without their breadwinners. And nobody's really, I mean, some people are helping them, but really the whole world is not aware of that as much as what's happening in Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
And those political prisoners, that's another dimension of this war. They're also
right.
victims of this war. And so, yeah, and many Russians, hundreds of thousands, have left Russia since the beginning of the war, and they're dispersed across the world in many different countries facing sanctions, right? Their cards are not working. Their people maybe don't want to hire them based on their nationality. And it's very hard because I feel like those people, at least I'm speaking from myself, like I do feel the pain. I feel the pain for it. I my heart bleeds for the war. And yet we have to face some hatred too, which is hard, right? Because we're come from a country that is not on moral right side of history right now. And it's very hard to separate your identity from that and say, I'm still a good person. I speak this language. I came from this country. And yet my country right now is the evil of the whole world, right? As people see it. And I think some Russians are still struggling through that and trying to figure out their emotions and how they feel. And because of those overwhelming emotions and harding to separate your identity from it, actually people become inactive and passive because those feelings of guilt and depression and identity confusion actually leads people to be inactive. And what one of the things I want to do with my community is build up people to be active. And the way you build up people to be active is you make them feel welcome, you make them feel accepted for their values, and for that we welcome them in Minnesota. You protested in Russia, you support free speech, you're against this war, we welcome you here. That's how I want them to feel. I don't want them to feel guilt or shame or depressed.
Right.
And when I've actually seen people change here. I've seen people feeling accepted and feeling like they belong. And we lead protests here when we express our opinion. We have events to write letters to political prisoners where
wow.
people can do
yeah.
that. And when people feel like they're a part of this group and they're part of the community, they become more active. They start doing things. And that's what I want to activate in people. I want them to feel like we're all humans, right? Like we should connect human to human. They're not to blame for Putin's mistakes. You come here, you want to have a new life. Let's accept you, let's welcome you, and let's have you participate in the democracy here. Let's practice our democratic muscle and go to protests. Let's write letters to political prisoners. Let's talk to politicians. Let's continue this work. But we can only continue this work if we feel active inside and we feel positive. If we're depressed and crying and feel guilt and shame, we don't do anything. And so I know this viscerally because I went through this stage for 3 months where I didn't do anything for 3 months because
sure.
I felt those feelings and conflicting emotions. And I worked on my identity and figuring that out and separating myself from Putin and his criminal gang and regime and all the you know, mafia that he's building there. And once I've separated that, I started acting from my identity of a Russian who I know of myself and the culture that I'm proud of, what my grandparents taught me, the stories I heard as a child. I learned how to love in Russia. I learned how to read in Russia. That's where I'm connecting to.
Sure.
I love my country. I'm very saddened that it's been taken hostage by criminals. I'm very saddened that they're committing acts of in unforgivable evil and crime for the world. But I want to help the world, and I can only help the world if I feel activated to do that and have feelings that are positive. And so that's what I'm trying to drive in this community as well.
Well, I mean, that is a profound mission, and one that I think, as an American, that really resonates with me, in terms of how I feel about my country, right? About America, about the United States and the actions that the United States has taken, in my name internationally. And when you really think about it, how do you turn that anger and resentment into action? And so that's really the question, I think. And you're doing that, right? You're going through the process right now with your group, and also with your upcoming event that we should mention. I want to make sure we mention this because it's coming up, and it's an art auction.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So we're going to host an art auction fundraiser at the White Bear Lake Center of the Arts on September 11 at 6:30 p.m. It's going to be from 6:30 to 8:30. And this event is called Building Bridges Through Art. I'm very passionate about building bridges in the community. One of the events I held in April was with the Iranian Democratic Community, the writing letters event to political prisoners. We actually invite a lot of Americans and other communities, and we translated the letters. I really believe we're stronger together.
Sure.
And so this event is going to bring Americans, Russians, and Ukrainian community together under the same roof to show our anti-war stance and to raise money for a couple of organizations, one Ukrainian organization and also an organization that supports political prisoners in Russia who've experienced torture.
Okay, and this is going to occur on what day?
September 11.
September 11.
At 6:30 p.m.
Okay, and White Bear?
White Bear Lake Center of the Arts.
Okay, and for more information, people could go to your Facebook group?
Yep, for more information, you can just type in Facebook Russians Against War Minnesota group, and they can find our flyer there. Our Instagram page, Raw Minnesota, will also have that.
Excellent. And I know you also have some guests that you brought along with you today we can get to. Did you want to talk about some of the art first in terms of where you're getting some of the art from? Because you said you had some stuff that was recently.
Yep, sure. So we are going to have some unique items in this auction that I believe will really interest the community that won't be available in other places. We have a lot of painters and artists that come from Russia. But I'm so saddened that Russia is kicking out the best people from its country, because all of these people in my group, they're right. So talented, and they have such amazing careers, and they're so achieved. Some of them are artists. And I've reached out to a few people and asked them if they would be interested to paint for just this art auction, and they were. And so a few of them are actually making big paintings. One of them was just completed yesterday, and it's a painting of a Minnesota landscape. It's a lighthouse up north.
Wow.
And it's done by an artist, Lisa, who lives in Rochester right now. She lives with her toddler by herself, while her husband, who is a surgeon, is still in Moscow and couldn't come here yet. So she actually came here by herself through Mexico with a toddler.
Wow.
Without her husband, because he's still not able to come. Hopefully he'll join them later, but she's been struggling.
That's
herself.
Wild. Yeah.
And actually painting this piece, she told me that painting this piece gave her encouragement and hope, and doing something to help activated her to feel better. And I think that's what I was referring to before.
Sure.
When
yeah.
you're doing something and you
right.
know how your work contributes to something better, that's how you feel better personally, and that's how you start doing more things. And Lisa's example is great. She completed this painting, and she also told me that she reached out to her dad, who was a painter who she hasn't connected to in several
wow.
years, and she said that they had this amazing connection of painting this together and getting his advice. So even that project brought her closer to somebody else. So, and this can replicate, right, if we're doing this, doing those things in the community. But
right,
to go back to the art, we do have some paintings that are done by recent refugees. She's just one example. We also will have items like dinners with refugee families from Ukraine and Russia. So we will auction off some dinners where people can buy them and they can come to their family's home and hear their personal stories, whether it's from Ukraine or Russia, and also get all of these amazing homemade meals.
Yeah.
So we will have some of those unique items. We've also gotten several paintings donated by American artists and American allies. There are American paintings of higher value that we hope to auction off and then bring money.
Excellent. Wow, that's a lot.
We also have items actually coming in nationally. We have some things coming from New Orleans, from Virginia. We have artists that have heard our cause and actually are we're still receiving contributions. So there are a lot of Americans supporting the cause.
Excellent. And we have a new voice joining us here. Could you introduce yourself, voice?
Yes. Hi, I'm Rachel Sinkler, and I'm a volunteer with Russians Against War Minnesota.
Thanks for being here, Rachel. That is awesome information. And we have another person as well, Irina.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Irina Firstman, co-founder of Global Synergy Group.
And you are partnering on this event, is that correct?
I'm absolutely partnering on this event. I'm in awe of what Yelena was able to put together. When I heard this story, I was so inspired and moved, I couldn't say no. This is a worthy cause. I am part Russian, part Ukrainian, and now American. So I always considered myself a citizen of the world, and I always fought for justice. And so my favorite long-time favorite quote by Martin Luther King, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And so it doesn't matter where it happens. If we see injustice happening, we need to do something about it, if it is in our power to do so, and it is.
Excellent. And that is that the point of view of the group that you are affiliated with as well?
Absolutely. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Global Synergy Group has been established since 2011. And our work has started with bringing youth and civic leaders from Minnesota to Ukraine and from Ukraine to Minnesota on a leadership development journey. We've been doing that for 10 plus years now. Since the war started in 2022, our mission shifted to supporting those we've worked with in the last 10 years. Not everybody stayed in Ukraine. Many people have fled the country and are finding themselves as refugees elsewhere. Some continue to help and support their colleagues in Ukraine, others don't. And so when I see different people making different choices, I remember or keep reminding myself that we all need to withhold judgment on what choices people make, but we always need to be able to support, love, meet them with kindness, and continue to do the work that is necessary to really the enemy is Putin's regime in this situation. And let's focus on that and not on the people who are unfortunately too prone to be manipulated at this point in time.
Well, and that's another question I was going to ask is just in terms of, you know, not only are you trying to, you know, reach people that are already involved in a conflict, but the information that they're receiving, you know, there's a, I guess I would say I'd describe it like there's a wall up to the truth. And so I imagine one of the goals of your organization is to try to get around that wall.
Break the wall.
Yeah. So how do you do that?
Keep talking. You don't shut the door. You have to keep the door open. And I truly believe that people in their deepest, you know, self, in their heart, all want the best. They all want the best for everybody. Outside of some that we consider to be evil, right?
Sure.
And so most of us want to do the right thing, and most of us will not out of fear. And so people like Yelena stepping up and doing the right thing is incredible and very rare.
Well, and it is. And I also wanted to ask you what you think about Yelena's stance on trying to turn the emotion into action, you know, rather than being sort of like stuck in the tragedy, taking those emotions and those feelings and putting those into action. Is that something that you feel like has been missing for a lot of folks?
Yes, and that is something that we have in common, I believe. I am too very emotional person when it comes to experiencing hate or experiencing any kind of resistance, right, to, on this side, being Ukrainian. Now I'm speaking from the Ukrainian perspective.
Right, right.
Helping Russian people in Russia who have protested the regime when they didn't have to. They found the courage to go outside, hold the sign, and some said absolutely nothing. Some held War and Peace book instead.
Mm-hmm.
Played Ukrainian music in support of Ukrainian people. And how can we stand by and watch them suffer at this point in time?
Right.
So my emotion, when nobody does the right thing, I'm talking about nobody who can. Some people can't, but those who have the tools, have the resources, have the connections, have the ability, live in a safe environment to do so, should. And when they don't, I consider that cowardness.
Sure, absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that perspective. I really appreciate that. All right, so more about the event. You said there's going to be, in addition to the art that we're going to see there, Elena, there's going to be other activities as well.
I would like Rachel to speak about this piece, and I also want to correct Rachel introduced herself as a volunteer of Russian Against War organization. Rachel has been a true partner and one of the leaders to help this event become a reality in the future. She's helped us find a venue. She's participated in all the meetings. She's helped collect much of the art as well. So I'll let her speak more about those pieces, but I did want to recognize her role as much bigger than just a volunteer.
Very modestly described by herself, yeah.
Thank you, Elena. So the event, we're very excited about it. One of the things I'm so thrilled about is that actually Elena's group has volunteered to do so much of the heavy lifting within the event itself. So we're actually going to have live music that will be played by members of Russians Against War. So that we'll have a silent auction for the first hour. And then we have a speaker who I love Elena to talk about more, who will be coming, who is a Nobel Peace Prize finalist.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, we're so excited about that. I'm going to let Olga say her name so I don't.
Yeah, so we actually have an exciting speaker come, Olga Sadovskaya. She's one of the leaders in a organization called Crew Against Torture, and that's one of the organizations we're going to be helping with the hopefully funds raised that help rehabilitate political prisoners who've experienced torture. Olga has been shortlisted for Nobel Peace Prize in 2017 and has been very heavily involved in helping people in Russia who've experienced torture for years.
Mm. And she's been doing this work for almost 2 decades
now. She's started doing this work when nobody cared about this work, when nobody thought, when nobody really cared that torture happens, and she cared many, many years ago. She's actually, she actually had her own business that she sold to then work at a nonprofit that helps people that helps people be rehabilitated from torture and defend those people. And her heart is in this. And she said that she will come to our event and speak. She just recently got a visa in Germany, and she now flew back to Russia. And she's going to be flying from Turkey, I believe, to Minneapolis on September 9, and going to be a speaker for us.
So we're very excited about that.
Right.
And then after that, we will have a live auction, and that's where we'll be auctioning off like the larger pieces, some of which have actually hung in museums, which we're really excited to share. There's been articles written about some of them. And we're also very excited that the art, we don't just have paintings. We have pieces across the board in terms of variety. We have pottery. We all have textile art. We'll have a quilt. We'll have some crocheted pieces. We'll of course have paintings. So there's a very wide variety of contributions we've received that we're really excited to share.
And will this be in the format of a silent auction or?
So there's two different auctions.
Okay.
The first hour will be the silent auction, which will be both live in person, and then it'll be a hybrid style event. So you'll also be able to participate online in case you can't make it.
Like that.
And then the second part will be the live auction after we have the program speaker. And so that will be in person only, because that'll be a little
harder to manage. And that's where they're like, sold.
Yes, that's where we have a live auctioneer. We're very excited about it.
That's exciting. Yeah, usually they're silent, you know, and you just kind of find out. So you have both.
Yes.
So get your auction on, both kinds.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Will there be any music at the event?
Yes. During the silent auction, we'll have several musicians play.
So not so silent, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it'll keep it lively. It'll be a lively silent auction.
Right. We don't want anybody to fall asleep during the silent auction. Well, that's awesome. And how about food?
There will be appetizers passed around. There'll be hors d'oeuvres passed around. Oh, nice. And we will have alcohol as well. Wow. So it should be, it's a cocktail attire event, so it should be quite classy.
All right. Well, it's good to know. Thanks for giving us those details. And again, the date is September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from
6:30 to 8:30 at the White Bear Center for the Arts.
All right. That is going to be really a fun time. I hope you have some cabbage rolls, because I love those.
Oh, those are delicious. Moscow on the Hill actually has contributed towards the event. Ooh, so if you are interested in cabbage rolls, now's your chance.
I know. The first thing I think about is cabbage rolls, and I can't get anything off my brain. Well, this sounds like a great event. And, I mean, talk about a worthy cause. What do you expect? What are your expectations do you have any expectations in terms of turnout? Or is there any threshold you're trying to meet here with the fundraising?
I mean, I think we would be honored to have 50 people to 200 people. You know, we're kind of flexible, but we'd love to have bodies in the room and just show the support. I think when we started this event, I think what really spoke to me was how we're trying to bring so many different communities together, and also that we're trying to recognize the humanity in each other, and that we have so many people that are standing up for peace. And I think as Americans, it's very easy to take a step back and just, you see another headline, and I think a lot of people have that emotional distance. And so I think as the American in this event and as part of the movement, I think part of my role is to make people feel this and to make us get beyond a headline, to realize that these are people losing their livelihood, losing their freedom, losing their lives, and that this isn't just a Ukraine problem. Right. That if we are truly friends of Ukraine, it means taking risks and doing something and taking action. So I'm very honored to be a part of this movement with my friends here. And I think as Americans, we say we speak for freedom, and we believe in democracy, and we have a civic duty to live out those values. And I think we need to recognize when other countries are trying to do the same.
Right, right. And we're not always easy to recognize that in others, so that's for sure, as Americans.
And ironically, the event is on 9/11.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the date of that is, you know, pretty profound date to just have that coincide with. And I think, you know, I'm sure there's probably a lot of parallels that exist, you know.
When we were looking at possibilities with the Art Center, you know, the discussion came up, you know, about, you know, it's on September 11. How do we feel about that? And for me, I actually felt there was a sense of rightness to it, because mm-hmm. I think that as Americans is one of our first experiences where we felt what being attacked feels like gutturally. I know I lost several people. There were family friends we lost.
Sure.
And I think that was a moment in time where we all know where we were when that happened, and it's etched into our memory. And I think when we remember that day, I think that gives us a perspective to understand what Ukrainians must be feeling right now. And I hope it will remind us to have that call towards compassion, to unite together and do the right thing and remember what we're fighting for, that we're not fighting for nationality. What we're fighting for are people and to embrace peace.
Well, I mean, that's really awesome that you can keep that at the forefront. And I think this event is one thing that can really help people do that. It puts a personal, definitely a personal spin on the experiences that are happening across the world. You know, it's amazing that you're able to do this. It's amazing that you're able to put this together so quickly, you know, and you're not waiting for 5 years to do this when it's not going to matter, right? I mean, you're doing it now when it can have a difference, right? And I think that's the thing that you talked about that is so interesting is that, you know, you could sit there in your feelings, right? But how is that going to do anything to change the situation? And so you're giving people who maybe feel the same way an opportunity to come out and do something in favor of those that are suffering.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's a, I mean, it's amazing when you can actually make that, take that despair and put it into something positive. And so I, you know,
it's amazing what happens, and it's amazing how then people pass that on to others.
Right. Oh, for sure.
It is a chain reaction, and I've seen it happen in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that energy, once you transform that energy and you start doing things and you feel better about yourself, it transforms to other people.
Okay.
And it's just a light, you know, it's a, it's just amazing to see that.
It is. We are going to take a break at this time and just a brief break for some public service announcements to help us pay some bills around here. And then we'll come back. And as we come back, we're going to play some music. And then we'll come back with some more information about your organization and maybe what lies in the future. Okay?
Great.
So we'll take a break and we'll be right back with more here of The Wave Project.
KFAI is proud to present Quasi at the 7th Street Entry on Tuesday, September 12th. Sam Coombs and Janet Weiss have become Pacific Northwest icons, and Quasi has always felt so steadfast, their enduring friendship so generative, their energy infinite, each album more raucous and catchy and ferocious and funny than the last. Brooklyn-based guitarist, singer, songwriter Ava Mendoza opens the show. Tickets for Quasi can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details. KFAI is proud to announce that Open Streets Minneapolis is coming to Cedar Riverside. It's the first Open Streets to happen at Cedar Riverside, and we have our own stage at 19th and Riverside from 11 to 5 on Sunday, August 20th. Support for the artists and engineers is made possible by KFAI and the Minnesota Legacy Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. People can find out more about Open Streets Cedar Riverside at openstreetsmpls.org.
Okay, we are back here at The Wave Project, and we are struggling a little bit to get our music. Maybe if you want to explain to us, Elena, what the song is that we're going to play, and I can figure out how to get that up for you while you're explaining that.
Sure. So the song is called Don't Lose Hope by Ellie. It's a Russian artist, and some of the wording in the song goes, don't give up. We'll make it through the new year, my friend. Don't give up. Don't let go of my hands. Let there be many mistakes, but we might be a little wiser and more beautiful in the next year. Maybe we'll even be happier. Do not give up. And don't let go of my warm hands.
All right. And this is the one that you texted me. Is that right? Okay. See if I can get this to work here. Oh. And again, why don't we just go through one more time the dates and time for the event?
Sure. So the event is Building Bridges Through Art at the White Bear Center for the Arts. On September 11th from 6:30 to 8:30.
All right. And we're going to play this song now. Hopefully I can get this to work. Live radio. All right, here we go. See if I get this to work here.
За этот год было много ошибок, не опускай рук. Может быть, в новом станем счастливее, ведь каждый шаг не туда, лишь способ сменить маршрут. Не опускай рук, не разжимай теплых рук, не опускай рук. Мы справимся вновь. станем счастливы.
KFAI 90.3 FM. You are tuned to The Wave Project, and my name is TJ Larson, and I am the board operator helping facilitate this broadcast. And Alenia is going to talk to us some more about this event. Remind us one more time.
Building Bridges Through Art, September 11, 6:30 at White Bear Lake Center of the Arts.
Excellent. And we wanted to talk about some future things that you have planned for mm-hmm. your organization. You want to talk about those?
Sure. So a couple of big rock projects that I hope to continue working on is, one of them is an art collection that is called Russians Against War that's currently in progress. And several painters are working on paintings that represent how Russian people protest against Putin's regime inside of Russia and outside of Russia. And it's basically going to show the resistance that's happening and that's sometimes overshadowed or even not known. And so we already have a few painters who've collected several pieces of work. We hope to then exhibit them in local Minnesota galleries and bring awareness to the plight of the Russian people who are standing against Putin's regime and everything that they're going through, being punished as a result of that. I believe that we cannot get the support for the Russian people and the Russian political asylees if there's no awareness. So it all starts with awareness. We hope to bring it through art. We hope to invoke emotions in people through art. And then once the awareness is built, then empathy comes next. Once empathy is there, then we can actually build some support and resources on a, you know, official government level for these people. So that's kind of my thought process of why it's important to do this and why it's important to exhibit this artwork. So hopefully in the future we'll have galleries who are interested in hosting this collection and bringing awareness to the community about this cause. One other big rock projects that I've been working on this year is writing letters to political prisoners. So I hope to continue that project and evolve it and expand it in the community to bring more diverse participants to it. So far, we have done two events. The first one was at the Russian Museum of Art in May. We've actually had 60 people attend, which was amazing turnout. Half of them were Americans. They wrote letters in English. We've translated the letters and sent them to Russian prisons. The Russian prisoners were amazed to get letters from Americans, and especially from Minnesota. They didn't even know Minnesota existed. Now they do. And that was amazing. I also am very moved by the fact that the censors, that each prison has a censor that reads the letters and decides if the letter is going to go through or not. And those censors have read the letters and see that Americans don't hate the Russian people and that Putin's rhetoric and propaganda is wrong. And so I believe, maybe I'm optimistic or hopeful, but I believe on some level we are changing the minds of the censors, possibly, who have read dozens of letters now from Minnesota and are reading that Americans are helping, wanting to help these Russian people go through this hard stuff. And some of the letters say how they want to see our countries be friends in the future. Some of the letters say how these Americans visited Russia and they love the Russian culture or the painters or the food. And they're trying to connect to them on a human level. And that's moving. That's human-to-human connection. They're not the Americans that write letters. They don't judge these people based on nationality that you're in this prison because you're responsible for Putin's mistake. No, they're writing letters to them as a human, trying to touch their heart, trying to help them through the day because sometimes these prisoners don't have anything else besides just reading the letter. Right. So that event brought together Americans and the Russian community. We had another event in July. And we're also going to have more events in the future. I want to mention an organization I'm partnering with and has been a really amazing partner, World Without Genocide.
World Without Genocide.
World Without Genocide is an organization led by Dr. Ellen Kennedy. And she's a visionary as well, a visionary to change this world for the better. And she has partnered with me and believed in this cause to bring this event to more people. And in September, we're actually hosting this event at the Mitchell School of Law. And we're opening it up to law students who are going to get diversity credit to participate in this event and write letters to political prisoners. It's all about human rights,
sure. Right?
It's not a Russia issue. Like Irina said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I also believe in that statement. It speaks to me. And what a great way for these law students who are learning how to practice law, what a great way for them to write to actual people
Absolutely.
Who've been imprisoned because they followed the law and they were there. They were, you know, tortured for that. And then in October, we're going to host a writing letters to political prisoners event at a synagogue in St. Paul. And so in the future,
Excellent.
I hope to expand this project to more organizations, more a larger community, because really it's about democracy and human rights.
Right.
It's not isolated to just Russia and a Russia issue. It's about us being human to human and helping each other and connecting with our own humanity and practicing our democratic values by standing up for what's right.
Wow. I don't know where you find the time to do all these things, but it's amazing.
I sleep for 4 hours a day for the last 6 months.
It sounds like you've just been on a whirlwind. Well,
I'm always saying that Elena is a force of nature.
Yeah,
you don't get in her way.
Right. And if you want to join this force of nature, they can find the Facebook page, and that's the best way to get involved.
Yes, and our Facebook page is Russians Against War Minnesota, and we would love to have volunteers or allies join our movement. I believe that I'm trying to build this movement not just based on nationality, right? I'm trying
Sure.
to build this movement based on values and what we together believe, and together we're stronger. We did have one student from McAllister who is majoring in international relations volunteer and intern for us. He is doing some film projects where he also has an exciting idea for the future as well to do something with with us. So we are open and looking for people to be involved with us in all from all nationalities, right?
Excellent.
We are stronger together and we're more diverse, and we are, you know, you never know what ideas people have. And it's also going to be fun. We've had so much fun in the last 6 months. I mean, Rachel had so much fun doing this auction together, staying up late at night, preparing for everything. So it's building bonds together. It's talking. It's heart-to-heart conversations, right? Like an example I gave of this painter, Lisa, who's done the painting.
Right.
And as she was doing it, she collaborated with her dad and bonded over that.
So cool.
You just cannot measure the effects of, once you start doing things from your heart for the right reasons to help the world, you just cannot measure the consequences of how it can propel to yourself, to your family, to other people. It's amazing to see this energy, and that's what drives me, and I hope to continue doing that. And we call on anybody who is interested to join us or help us in any way to join us. It'll be fun. We can change the world one step at a time, affect what we can do and control what we can control, and just keep doing the right thing.
Do the right thing. That's a great way to end on, right? Do the right thing. Well, thank you for sharing on that, and thank you for sharing all of your information today. Your guests that were also here, was there anything else that we wanted to add? Irina?
You know, I would like to just draw a little bit attention to the importance of art and selecting art event, art action for this type of bridging to occur and healing to occur. Art has been known as a form of expression, form of, you know, taking risk and showing people through art what you cannot say in your words. And it's also has been proven a healing technique in itself to paint or to express through songs and other forms of art your grief.
Right.
And so I am really inspired by the fact that the White Bear Lake Center for the Arts is the partner in this particular event, and would love an opportunity for other art centers to be also involved. I hope that public art can be part of it. I hope that artists can see the value of their work in healing people and in bringing people together for the sake of peace and democracy in the world. So I think that's a message that also is very strong in having that event done specifically through art.
Well, thank you for sharing that and sharing your information about your group. And anything else you want to add before we close? We just have maybe about 30 seconds left here.
I think we can just remind people that the event will be happening on September 11th, Building Bridges Through Art. We'd love for you to RSVP by September 2nd so we can guarantee your spot and make sure there is plenty of food for everyone.
Yes, and hopefully some cabbage rolls, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, thanks once again for joining us here on this edition of The Wave Project. And hopefully we'll see you down the road with another episode. Maybe I'll get fortunate enough to be engineering and come on the air with you.
We'd love that.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for having us and for hosting Impromptu.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And thanks again for being here. Thanks for joining us this week, everyone. And we'll see you next week with another edition of The Wave Project. We're going to leave with a song by Reg and Bone Man that is appropriate to this discussion. And it's called Human.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me, don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror, what do you see? You see it clearer, or are you deceived?
Не разжимай теплых рук, не опускай рук, мы справимся в новом году, мой друг. Может, за этот год было много ошибок, не опускай рук. Thank you.
ведь в новом станем счастливей. Ведь каждый шаг не туда, лишь способ сменить маршрут. Не опускай рук, не разжимай теплых рук, не опускай рук, мы справимся в новом году.
How you can produce your own one-hour radio program, check the KFAI website at kfai.org/waveproject. The Wave Project, it's anything you want it to be. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul.